Breakfast with Ben's podcast today. As you know, the NFL almost moved the AFC Championship game to a neutral site this year. Had it been the Chiefs and the Bills, that would have happened because of the imbalanced schedule following DeMar Hamlin's collapse in that Monday Night Football game. A lot of people thought at the time that if that game were to have taken off in Atlanta as a neutral site, it could have been used as somewhat of a test balloon to see if the NFL would have the AFC and NFC championship games at neutral sites permanently. And when you started to see the NFL talking about how many tickets were sold in advance, that certainly got the scuttlebutt going that this might be a permanent move to have the AFC and NFC title games at neutral venues, opposite conferences, moving forward. I think that would be a terrible mistake. I would prefer to have games stay at home venues. The Steelers have been fortunate enough to host 11 AFC championship games over the years. 6 wins, 5 losses. Joining me right now to talk about some of the memories of those games and specifically to rank the 6 AFC championship game wins for the Steelers, it's Bob Labriola from Steelers.com, Steelers team historian. He's also on the Steelers pregame coverage with me. I do the first 2 hours with Rob King, along with Dale Lally from Steelers.com. You can hear Bob with Jerry Dulac and Mike Pursuta for the second 2 hours on DVE before every Steelers contest. Bob, before we get into your rankings of the Steelers AFC championship game wins over the years, do you think this is going to happen? Have we seen our last AFC championship game in Pittsburgh? The talk is this could happen as quickly as next year. Do you think that'll be the case?
Based on talking to some people, I really think that this is going to be a tough sell for the league. You know, certainly, you know, a famous man once told me, whenever the question is why, the answer is money. And so why would they move the neutral sites? Money. You know, you could sell sponsorships to the game and make it like a bowl game, you know, the Poland Weed Eater Bowl or whatever, you know, how those, some of those things work.
Yes.
They could turn NFL championship games into that. They could also, the league could also use it, you know, kind of make it a Super Bowl in terms of how tickets are allocated, because the league could use them for like the big paying sponsors, you know, and the other business partners that the league might be involved with that, you know, pay significant marketing and advertising dollars. And so that's a benefit to the league. And you could, you know, in selling these packages, they could include so many tickets, you know, to a conference championship game. For example, the one this year, the one that was going to happen but didn't because the Bengals spoiled it by beating the Bills, it was going to be in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta, just as a, you know, is a, I think, the global hub of Coca-Cola. Now, I understand that Pepsi, you know, is most, does most of the advertising, you know, the soft drink of the NFL and everything, but, you know, Coca-Cola is a global multinational company. And so, you know, Coca-Cola might be interested in taking advantage of a championship game, NFL conference championship game in their home base. So that's just some of the ways that, you know, this could be monetized. Now, I do, though, have heard that there are a lot of owners who are, you know, not in favor of this, you know, beyond the it would rob their fans. You know, the possibility of, you know, having a home game with the stakes being a trip to the Super Bowl. But, you know, the economic impact to the city, too, is pretty significant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're, well, let's just say the Steelers, the economic impact to hosting a championship game in Pittsburgh is significant. Now, you know, do you want to give that up? Or do you have some sort of loyalty to your city, you know, that is that you're kind of business partner with your stadium and the team and all that kind of stuff? So
yeah, especially if it's a publicly funded stadium, right? Especially
right.
If it's a new publicly funded stadium, because the Steelers aren't alone in being two-thirds of their way through a lease of a stadium at Heinz Field, like a lot of other places that is roughly that old. I mean, there will be a wave within the next, 25 years or so of new stadiums being built. And how is that going to go down? That's a good point.
And, or let's go back to Buffalo. You know, maybe they want to rebuild, what's that called, Highmark Stadium now, because that's a pretty old facility. Okay, so say the owner of the Bills, the Pegulas, they want to go to the, you know, the politicians there and try and get some funding or some, you know, partnership going to build a new stadium. Well, if there's no chance to have a championship game there, you know, that might have, you know, the locals looking on that proposal in a totally different light than if you say, well, hey, you know, we've played, so many home championship games in the last 5 years, and it had X amount of economic impact to this area. So, you know, there's two ways of looking at it in terms of the stadium partnership with the area. So, you know, while this sounds pretty good, I think that, you know, in the Hunt family, let me just say this. This goes back years, decades. I mean, Lamar Hunt, Clark Hunt is currently the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. His father, Lamar Hunt, founded the team as a, you know, one of the original owners of, in the AFL. But, he and Dan Rooney used to go around about this all the time because Lamar Hunt wanted neutral site championship games, and Dan Rooney was, to say he was adamantly opposed, I think, is an understatement. And so, you know, this is not a new concept. As I've said, I don't think this is going to be a simple prospect to change this. And, we're going to have to see how it works out here over the next, maybe 5 to 10 years.
What's Clark Hunt think about it, I wonder now, especially with his team getting to host one and beating it every year for the last five?
Well, I think he also, you know, the thing with Lamar Hunt at the time was he viewed Arrowhead Stadium as a prime location for a neutral site championship game. It's a very nice facility. You know, it's a you've been there.
Yeah.
The area around it, you know, they have the two stadiums, Royal Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium, kind of on like one property, one footprint, lot of parking, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's an outdoor facility and, you know, pretty big seating capacity. And I think that at the time, you know, the Chiefs weren't very good then. And at the time, I think that, you know, Lamar Hunt believed that that would be a way to utilize his facility in at a time of year when his football team had not been playing for some time.
Well, Bob, let's get to it again. Bob Labriola, our guest. If this does go through and the Steelers don't get to host an AFC championship game again, hopefully at least we can put this off for a while so that the Steelers do get back into a position where they do if they ever do decide to take it out of home venues. They've hosted 11. They've won 6. They've lost 5. And of the 6 that they've won, I asked you if you could rank them for me. You think the best games for the AFC Championship that were crowned to the Steelers in Pittsburgh, either Three Rivers or Heinz Field. Let's start at 6 and count up to 1. So what do you have as number 6?
1979. That would have been the home championship game before the Steelers went to Super Bowl 14 and won their 4th championship in the 70s. 79 was also a rematch with the Oilers because the teams had played in the 1978 championship game also in Pittsburgh. And, the 79 game, the day it was really cold. There are a lot of weather issues in these lists we're going to be going over here.
Yeah, I can't find one where a day was over 20 degrees.
And then there also was the Mike Renfro play.
Yeah.
Did he catch it? Did he not? Did it matter? Would it have mattered? You know, outside the fact that, you know, it was an AFC championship game, a lot of Hall of Fame players and all of that kind of stuff, with the exception of the one officiating controversy, you know, there wasn't really anything that compelling about it. You know, somebody has to be 6th. So 1979 is six.
I think because the Renfro play was so memorable, I put it a little higher. I put it at four. What did you have at five?
Five, I got 2010.
Okay, that's the one I had six. This is the one where they beat the Jets and went on to the Super Bowl that they ended up losing to the Packers.
Right. You know, again, Steelers fans, including and people who worked there, I throw myself into this, spoiled by the fact that you had two AFC championship games at home over a three-season span. You know, in that respect, it was almost, you know, like the 70s. That game was against the Jets. You know, Steelers-Jets isn't really a compelling matchup to me. Hasn't been historically. That particular season, the Jets were a lot better than, you know, anyone thought. You know, the one thing about that game, 2010, that to me was somewhat eye-opening, let me say it, was it really, to me, showcased the what we were going to see over the next 5 or 6 years, the pairing of Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. That game was clinched. It was a 3rd and 4 or 5, I believe, and Rex Ryan, the Jets coach at the time, was totally convinced the Steelers were going to run the ball and punt and then, you know, play defense. But instead of that, they went with a pass. Ben rolled out a little bit, bought a little time, hit Antonio Brown, who broke a tackle, gained the necessary yards for the first down and, you know, put it into victory formation. So that was what was, to me, most compelling about that game. But I have that one at number five.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people also have just as many, if not more, memories of the win over the Ravens the week before in the divisional round. Another game where Ben and Antonio Brown sealed it with a great catch, the one where he pinned the ball. I'm with you there. I actually had that one sixth for many of the reasons you pointed out. Like I said, I had the Renfro game a little bit higher at four. What'd you have at number four? Because you gave us your fifth and sixth already.
Yeah, 1995.
That's surprising. Was the game I had that one second. Okay, how come?
Well, you know, this is the way I was looking at that at the time. You know, one of the games that is going to be on the win ranking list, 1994, was that loss to the Chargers.
Yeah.
On 4th and goal at the 3. Now, the 1995 game, you know, the Steelers were double-digit favorites in 1995 over the, or 1994 over the Chargers. 95, they were also significant favorites over the Colts, who in the divisional round had upset the number one seed Kansas City Chiefs to bring the game to Pittsburgh. So, you know, this, again, was seen as a game where, you know, the Steelers were heavily favored, should win, maybe easily, you know, all that kind of stuff. We all know how that happened, how that ended up with that failed Hail Mary, you know, on the last play of the game. But as I was watching that play from the Three River Stadium press box, I was seriously thinking that if the Steelers would lose this game again, come to this far to a championship game at home and lose to a team that was a heavy underdog, two times in a row, back-to-back seasons, you probably have to blow the whole thing up and start over, because I don't know if you could continue with that roster that had gone through that and then expect them to somehow not be have PTSD and maybe go in the tank for a while. So, you know, that to me was a highly stressful game for someone who worked for the franchise at the time, and there wasn't really anything about that that I found enjoyable. It was, in terms of watching it, it was more of a relief, you know, than anything else. Oh, thank God they didn't lose again.
The play by Willie Williams on Lamont Warren to make that tackle, the great comeback, the pass to Ernie Mills from Neil O'Donnell to keep that drive alive, and then, of course, the Hail Mary sitting there in the stomach of Aaron Bailey, Randy Fuller getting involved in knocking off. For those moments, I made it number two. For me, that was really the first AFC championship game that I can entirely remember that got the Steelers to a Super Bowl. I was a little too young in the 70s. I do kind of remember the one that I had at three. I have more how can I put this, like NFL films kind of memories of the crushing of the Oilers 34-5 in 1978-79. Where do you have that one? We're up to, what, number three on our list right now, right, for you. So where do you have that one?
Number three is I have 1975.
Okay, you've got the Raiders game at 75 next. Okay.
Yes. You know, that, you know, talking about weather, you know, that was a significant, weather was a significant factor in that game. You know, the bitterness of the Steelers-Raiders rivalry, I think, I won't say it peaked with that game, but it certainly, you know, was, it was at its zenith, you know, in that era. That was the game where John Madden accused, you know, the Steelers of purposely allowing the tarp to tear to freeze the sideline areas of the turf.
So it was tearing? I thought it was intentionally not covering. Is that what the accusation was, that they tore it?
Well, yeah, I mean, because the tarp was on. It was on the field. I mean, you could see it. They had it on TV. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was on.
Okay.
But what supposedly happened was, is they were blowing air underneath it, you know, to try and keep the, because at the time, now, well, let me say it this way. Nowadays, fields, NFL fields, like Acrisure Stadium's field for that Christmas Eve game against the Raiders this season, that turf was not frozen, because now when they're built, they put pipes underneath with hot water that runs underneath there, and it, so it doesn't freeze. But at the time, they didn't do that, and it was artificial turf, and so they would pump, they would put the tarp down and then pump hot air, blow hot air underneath it and kind of make it like a little balloon. But the tarp tore. And so in the middle of the night, and so then the next morning, a lot of the moisture that had formed from the heat, had then settled on the turf and frozen. So then you had ice. Okay. So that was the complaint.
And it slowed down Cliff Branch was the complaint, right?
Yeah, but when, you know, Franco Harris ran around that end for the touchdown, it didn't seem to slow him down. So I don't know, maybe it was only when the Raiders had the ball was the turf icy. But again, you look at, you know, that was the first championship game at home for the 70s Steelers, for that dynasty, because in 74, they had won on the road in Oakland to go to the first, their first Super Bowl, Super Bowl IX. So 75, they beat the Raiders again, another rematch, only different venue, to go to Super Bowl X. So that was the first home AFC championship game for the team of the decade.
First one that they won, because they lost the one against the Dolphins, right, in 72?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. The first one that they won. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get to, and by the way, wasn't that the game, too, where Atkinson concussed Lynn Swann, and then he came back and won Super Bowl MVP thereafter?
Yes, the Raiders, I don't know if it was Atkinson, but the Raiders concussed Swann in that game, yes.
All right, so I guess then it comes down to the crushing of the Oilers in 78-79 and the Ravens game in 08-09. What do you have at number one, and what do you have at number two?
Okay, number one is 2008 game against the Ravens. Still one of the most violent football games I've ever seen. And it was, you know, capped by Troy's pick six, when I personally really thought, you know, the Steelers had kind of settled into some offensive doldrums at the time. They were leading 16-14. The Ravens had started to move the ball again, and I really had a bad feeling that it was going to be, you know, a Ravens field goal and a 17-16 loss. But Paul Amalu made one of the great plays in his career and iced that game. So that was number one. And also, let me say this. Mike Tomlin firmly believes, and I do not disagree with him, but that AFC Championship game in 2008 was what started the league down the path towards their player safety initiative that really kind of gained traction 5 weeks into the 2010 season, because that was a brutal, brutally physical game, violent, and a lot of the things, hits in that game that were legal at the time, a couple of years later, were no longer legal. And, you know, I can just speak for myself. Anytime you beat the Ravens three times in a season, that makes that a little bit more delicious. Okay, so number two then would be 78, another weather game. The Steelers had gone, after winning Super Bowl X at the end of the 95 season, they had two seasons, 76 and 77, where, you know, they didn't win a trophy. And so 78 was kind of a, I don't know, payback season maybe, or a comeback season or whatever. The Steelers had dominated so much, so many of their regular season opponents. 14-2 they finished during the regular season. They paid back the Broncos in the divisional round. The Broncos had eliminated the Steelers from the playoffs in 77. 78 was the rubber match against the Oilers. Maybe at the time, the second best team in the NFL, just dominated them. It was a really bad weather day, freezing rain, wet. But it was a butt kicking, 34-5 or something like that, and it wasn't that close.
Yeah, 34-5, and it was 31-3 at halftime. The Oilers got a safety in the third quarter, and that just felt like a coronation game to me. More than anything else, if you look back at history, this the way that the offense also evolved, and maybe the ball was sort of handed off, so to speak, Bob, from the defense to the offense to a degree for those last two Super Bowls with Bradshaw and the offensive weapons. I just remember Bradshaw sliding along the Three River Stadium AstroTurf after a scramble to get away from pressure for the Oilers, and it was so wet and slick, I think he got an extra 10 yards as he was sliding.
Yeah, that was... That photo was everywhere. That was the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day, back in that time. Yeah, that's an iconic photo. And yes, it was a coronation. And you mentioned the handoff from the defense to the offense. That's how the Steelers approached that entire season. Was much more about the dominance of their offense than the stinginess of the defense.
Well, before we go, Bob, there are other five games, I believe. Yeah, five games the Steelers lost as AFC Championship games. You mentioned the 72 game, the Larry Seipel fake punt as the Dolphins went on to their undefeated season. That was because back then they had that crazy rule about you rotate the AFC Championship game, which, come to think of it, still feels better than putting it in a neutral site now that I think about it out loud. But they had that rule back then, so the Dolphins had to come to Pittsburgh after the Immaculate Reception. I wrote about that previously in the Trib this year. So you had that one. We also talked about the Charger game in 1994, an AFC Championship game that they lost here in Pittsburgh. There was the Bronco game in 97. There were the two games against the New England Patriots that they lost as well. Of that batch, which one do you remember as being the one that hurt the most?
94 against the Chargers. Because that was one, Dan Rooney, in the process of doing his book, we talked about a lot of different things, and he mentioned that was the only year ever that he was packed to go to the Super Bowl, the morning of the championship game. But I mean, the teams would leave, you know, a lot earlier, and he was ready to go. And so that was one of the ones, you know, Beano Cook told me this story too. You know, Beano at the time, he would always come to Three River Stadium for the, you know, the pregame, you know, socializing with all the other media guys. And then Beano left that day and he went home and he was living downtown and he said he fell asleep. He said he woke up like around 11:30 midnight. The game was played at, you know, 1 or whatever it was. And Beano said, you know, you couldn't check your phone for the score or anything. He said, I just listened. He said, and it was totally quiet outside downtown. He said, I knew they lost.
Yeah. I remember my dad saying it felt like there were tumbleweeds through downtown the next day. Everybody was so depressed about it. I was in the stands for that. When we talked about all the cold weather, that one I remember because it was so warm, you had the fog coming off the rivers.
Right.
And then San Diego was in town and it was 60 degrees outside.
And that was the same situation, unusually warm weather for the 1972 game with the Dolphins, too. That was a New Year's Eve kickoff, and it was 50s, 55, something like that in Pittsburgh, too, because at the time, everyone was hoping for cold, miserable snow,
right,
you know, for the Miami team.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Labs, well, thanks a lot for sharing some memories. I greatly appreciate it. It's going to certainly help texturize our story about this, and I'm with you, and I'm with Dan Rooney. Whatever he might be thinking about this from the great beyond, I think he's right. Keep the games in the home cities for all the reasons you pointed out before.
Yeah, I really hope that the league does the right thing, is the way I would describe it, and leave those games, you know, for the fans of the teams that have earned it by having the best record in the playoffs.
Labs, thanks. And, of course, people can check out many of these memories. They are well chronicled at the Steelers Hall of Honor Museum, right?
Yeah. And, there's going to be updates throughout. We're working on some now that should be in place, you know, by the start of the 2023 regular season. So it's something where if you've already gone once, that doesn't mean you're never going to want to go again.
Labs, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Tim, take care.
Bob Labriola from Steelers.com, and, of course, Steelers team historian. Do check out the Steelers Hall of Honor Museum. It is fantastic. I went there through the media tour. We're giving away tickets at my house to friends and family as Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and anniversary gifts, and I don't think anybody has come away yet without saying it is definitely worth your while, so get there if you haven't been there yet. This is Breakfast with Benz.